Hey there, welcome to the next edition of the Bills Wire podcast. I am Jeremy Juhas, and today I have a couple of other contributing writers from our Bills Wire USA Today site. You can join this podcast by, I think we're on Apple iTunes. You can download there, wherever you can get your podcasts. So we encourage you all to share as much as possible, as we're looking to grow this podcast over time. And do it more frequently. The goal, hopefully, is at least 3 to 4 a month. And once again, I'm Jeremy. You have a relatively new contributor to Bills Wire. I have a, I believe, veteran writer for Bills Wire, a lot longer than myself and another guest joining me. But Rich Kowalski, I think you've been around for how long have you been writing for Bills Wire now?
I'd say about just over a year, actually. I came over from Buffalo down around February last year. And was able to cover the draft at Bills Wire. Yeah, about a year.
Oh, okay, cool. And then I came in around the same time as Keenan, and instead of trying to pronounce his last name, I asked him to maybe do it for me. So Keenan came in with me as a contributing writer, and he's also joining me on this edition. So thanks, Keenan.
Yeah, no problem. It's pronounced Jimmy Jeech. It's tough. It's a tough one, but thanks for having me. I'm excited to get started.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. We had a podcast before talking about the Bills' maybe pregame draft plans, and now that all the dust is settled and we look back at the draft and kind of how it all went down, we can kind of take a quick look. One quick house cleaning item I did want to get to is, if you haven't checked it out yet, Nick Wotan's article, which is really good, featured wide receiver Jeremy Curley and his new addition and his role with the team and what he expects he can bring to the Bills next season. If you haven't checked that out, please sure that you do. And then Rich followed up with a really good article about his mentality and kind of his approach and how that blended with what the Bills are expecting from him in 2018. So check out those two recent articles. And I think I want to start with the wide receiver position, guys, because that, I think, was a area where the Bills, for a lot of fans, were wondering, well, I wish they would have drafted one a little bit earlier. In the middle of the rounds, they came out and said that there wasn't the value there, and they went with more defensive players. And I just want your guys' take. I guess we'll start with you, Keenan. What did you think of the Bills opting to go more defensive players, getting Austin Prohl, Ray-Ray McCloud late, and then getting those undrafted, free agents with Cam Phillips and Robert Foster, who Brian Daboll probably knows really well. What do you think they're trying to do, and do you agree with kind of their approach?
I wasn't happy at all. They drafted a quarterback, obviously, in the first round, and I was hoping they would draft a couple more offensive talent around this quarterback that they're going to hopefully start towards sometime this year or maybe next year. But like you said, maybe they're trying to find that diamond in the rough, and hopefully they get lucky. Looking at some of their stats, no one really was impressive besides Cam Phillips, who was a four-year senior who had a pretty good college career. Ended up with actually 71 receptions, 964 yards, and 7 touchdowns his senior year, which surprisingly he wasn't drafted, but the other three, or Ray McCloud and Austin Prohl, were drafted over him. I wasn't happy. I don't know about you guys, but I wish they would address the wide receiver position earlier.
What do you think, Rich? What do you think about that decision the Bills made?
Yeah, I mean, I can get how people were a little upset without them really addressing that position, but I think what they're doing right now is they're going to see what they have out there. They don't really know what Zay Jones is capable of yet. He still was just a rookie last year. Kelvin Benjamin was only in for a little bit, and they didn't really have a strong passing quarterback with throwing to him last year with Tyrod and when Peterman was in there. I think they're going to see what they have, and I think next year will be the year where they're able to either draft someone or they're able to use that cap space they have next year to get a possible big target. And then you still have Kelvin Benjamin, too. You can re-sign after the year. He'll be a free agent. I think they're just pushing it off a little bit because they want to wait and see what they have still.
Yeah, I think, Keenan, to your point with Cam Phillips, I think, he kind of led Virginia Tech career-wise with his, production there. he might be that person that comes in and does it. I think, you know, for me, they obviously went quantity here. They didn't get the value that they wanted in the middle round, so they're just trying to hope that they can hit on one of these guys. It said that Brandon Bean knew Austin Prohl from when he was, I think, a ball boy or something like that way back. So they're just trying to take guys that might fit into the system. Hopefully they can mesh with the new quarterback, and they clearly went quantity over quality here as, I think, plan B. I bet that they were looking at wide receiver. I think they admitted as much, but they just couldn't, you know, come around to drafting one because, you know, as they said, the value, which kind of leads into the middle rounds as we're kind of looking over the draft. And one of my favorite players that they picked up was Wyatt Teller, the guard. Obviously, with Incognito retiring and the situation, too, with Eric Wood at center, that interior of the line really took a hit. So Wyatt Teller, I think, in the round that they got him for what he did, I think his stats never allowing a sack for, I mean, hundreds of snaps in all of those games, a consistent player. I thought that was a really good value for the Bills, and even though it wasn't a necessarily sexy pick, I think that could be one that they could really benefit from next year. And I wonder if he will start for or compete for a starting job or not. And I was just curious on your guys' takes on if you think he could be like a plug-and-play player.
Well, I guess I'll go first. I think absolutely he can be a starter. Like you said, with Richie and Eric Wood not being with the team anymore, anyone on the depth chart, offensive lineman, should be looking to become a starter. They should be competing, and they should all think they are good for the job. Wyatt Teller, like you said, where they got him in the fifth round was a bargain for him. I think he could beat out. I think they have one guard signed right now that's above him. I forgot his name. But I think he could become a starter for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that too. I think that he was rated as one of the best offensive linemen by Pro Football Focus, and to get him in the fifth round is a huge steal, I think, for the Bills. I don't think they expected him to be there even. I think that it was a strong move too by Bean to just, instead of playing wait and see with Incognito, you know, one day he's retired, one day he's not. I think it was a really smart move to just address it, and just if he wants to join the team later on, sure. But they definitely have a backup plan in place.
Yeah, and he seems like a Buffalo guy. I mean, he's got like the long hair, just like, it seems like he's a pretty hard-nosed player, almost. You know, almost like an Eric Wood when he came out and he was drafted. I mean, I remember when he was drafted at Louisville and everyone was saying, like, how much this guy just loves to bury people. And I kind of feel like Wyatt Teller is one of those guys. You know, he played defense when he went to Virginia Tech and then flipped sides and became a guard eventually for them. So I think that's really cool. He has that, you know, guys on the defensive side of the ball have that mentality of they just want to crush everybody that's in front of them. They want to hit people. That's why they play defense. So I think that's really cool that he flipped sides, and now he's kind of has that same mentality from an offensive lineman standpoint. I think he could be one of the more popular Bills on the team pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely sticks with the theme they had this draft. They drafted a lot of guys that are versatile, that can play, you know, in different spots on the field, that aren't just, you know, one specific duty type of players. They have guys that have played in different coverage, have played in different places on the defense especially. It just really sticks with that theme. I like what they're doing. They're getting that guys that are way more versatile than they got, you know, with prior regimes.
Yeah, and experienced. Most of them are seniors or juniors or seniors. They want players that are experienced and have played under good coaches.
Yeah, for sure. And like getting to kind of Rich, where you were going with that on the defense side of ball, like pieces that fit in certain spots. I love the Taron Johnson and Cyron Neal, especially the Cyron Neal. I'll start with him first, Jacksonville State. I think just watching some of his film, you could tell right away that he's a big guy. He played safety, he played linebacker, he has experience at corner. Like, he's a secondary guy, but has that kind of hybrid speed and power and strength that you need in this day and age in the NFL. And I think he was drafted to cover guys like Rob Gronkowski. Like, mm-hmm. I think he was like this situational player that can shut down a very versatile and very athletic tight end. And he's also not a very sexy pick, maybe probably the least sexiest pick because no one really knew about him that much. But I think he could be huge on third down and huge, like I said, in certain situations. And you're right, Rich. I think the theme with McDermott and the Bills in general is to just find players who can fit their scheme and be versatile enough to be thrown in any situation. But like when I saw that they drafted this guy and I saw the way he like lays lumber on people and the way he can cover tight ends, I was like, this guy is meant to try to stop Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, for sure.
Now in the, you know, with Miami getting Mike Gesicki, another good tight end, you know, in their draft, you know, the Dolphins are going to have, you know, good tight end play. You got to have a really good player who can shut down that position, because they're constantly, offensive coordinators constantly looking for those mismatches. And I think, you know, Cyron Neal is a really good player at that value. And I guess I can't blame them for not going wide receiver there. Maybe there wasn't anybody that they wanted. I believe at that time, you know, guys like Michael Gallup were already drafted by the Cowboys, and other maybe third rounders that would have, you know, fell to the fourth round could have been there. So I think he was a really good, really good pickup.
I think we could agree that this secondary is going to be fun to watch this year, with the way they played last year, and adding these two rookies, and adding what's the free agent's name? That they added.
Vontae Davis.
Yeah, Vontae Davis. If Josh Allen isn't playing, I'm looking to watch the secondary. I think I'm more excited to watch the secondary than any other position on this team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that with the guys that they're getting, I think they might be trying to go for, maybe tipping their hand a little bit, going for some more exotic looks next year. They have the guys that they want. They have more of a foundation than they did last year with, you know, last year's draft especially, too. They had six guys come out that were almost all got decent playing time towards the end of the year even. And I think that just shows that they're getting guys that aren't just, you know, ceremonious draft picks in the end. They're guys that are going to be able to actually get on the field a little bit and show some maybe exotic looks or do something different.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see. I remember, do you guys remember, I think it was Rex Ryan who actually did this, but, or it might have been Bill Belichick, I'm not sure, but it was probably like maybe a good 10 years ago now, when we saw like seven guys just standing on the line of scrimmage, like no down linemen, and they were just all like roaming around. And
I think it was the Broncos that did that, actually.
Was it the Broncos that did that first?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, it was just such maybe it was that.
They beat Brady in the AFC Championship, or I don't know if what game it was, but they beat Brady with that look.
Yeah, but it's just...
Yeah, I think it was when Wade Phillips was there, their coordinator.
Yeah, when Wade Phillips was there. Yeah, but just, like, guys kind of standing around, walking around.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard for a quarterback then to decide who's coming on a blitz or really what coverage you're in. And, yeah, I think they have athletic enough players now that they can do something exotic like that. And I think, at the same time, they're picking solid, fundamentally solid football players. I think, for a while, the Bills just took guys who could be run fast or you know, had decent ball skills but like couldn't tackle. Stephon Gilmore like sticks out, you know, in that arena. Great player, but sometimes would shy away from contact. Like, they definitely want guys who can bring, you know, some intensity when it comes to making
bring the lumber
up. Yeah, and kind of strike fear or just be a little bit harder to play against. I think that's like definitely a big thing that they're trying to bring in. Now, Taron Johnson, like, he, I think, is going to definitely compete with Phillips, the cornerback they brought in from Kansas City for that nickel spot. And he a little undersized, but I think he has, you know, everything else that you would want. He is a good tackler, can come up and run support. He is a good cover guy, a better zone cover guy, and that's what we know McDermott likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. He's a guy that he may lack in height, but that was his biggest knock coming out of college was just his height. He's a super physical guy. He's gonna get up on you. He's very experienced in the zone, and I think he's just gonna be. He definitely could take over that spot from Phillips, you know, week one.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's also interesting in the sense that, you know, both of these guys are small school guys, and you don't know how necessarily it's going to translate to you know, to the NFL. You have teams like the Jaguars. It seems like Doug Marrone and that crew, they just constantly get SEC players and draft, you know, guys like that. And it's cool when your team kind of goes a little bit under the radar and drafts guys who and gives guys a chance who, you know, don't necessarily play in the SEC every week, but know that they're solid football players. And I think, too, with just the way the parity is in college football, like, you can find good players everywhere. So, interested to see how you said, Keenan, this secondary is going to shake out this year, just because I think, you know, with the addition of Vontae Davis, you're not really sure. Hopefully his knee will hold up. Everything seems to be full go, but I think what the Bills also set themselves up for here is if they do have injury, either in the secondary or at any position, they're just trying to get more depth. And I think Bills fans would be scared if Poyer or, you know, God forbid, like, you know, Micah Hyde goes out for a very long time. Now you have Neal, you know, who could plug and play, hopefully, in that safety position. So I just think they're just trying to add more competition, more depth, and if not more depth, then right, they'll just go for that specific, you know, player who can come in on a certain down to shut down whatever they're coming up against. So yeah, that's kind of like, you know, the middle of rounds there. You know, I was sitting around at the draft just waiting to see which direction the Bills would go in. Obviously, when they traded up and lost both of their second round picks and traded up and got rid of their first pick in the third round, there's a long wait for all of us to see who they would draft next. And we can now get to kind of the big guys who everyone's really talking about with the Bills draft. And guys, I was really shocked. We'll start with Harrison Phillips. This guy is well, first of all, the pick was cool just because you had Pancho Bila, his story pretty well known in Bills fan circles, battling cancer, and for him to come up on stage was a pretty cool moment. I'm glad the Bills and the NFL allowed him to do that. And the emotion that Harrison Phillips showed, I think he's going to be an instant fan favorite. A lot of people calling him Kyle Williams 2.0, just with his kind of way he plays and his low center of gravity and just that defensive tackle position. What do you guys think of that pick?
I personally love it. I didn't know much about him until we drafted him, actually. But he's going to if he replaces Kyle Williams and brings that emotion that he brought into when he was in college, and he brings it into our locker room after Kyle's gone, I think he's a perfect fit. Hopefully he becomes a leader just like Kyle did, and he's able to lead that defensive line.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was a steal, honestly, in the third round. He was a guy I watched a little bit of before the draft, just trying to see what the Bills could possibly go for at defensive line, and he was a guy that I think the Bills were really high on. He has that wrestling champion-type mentality that McDermott brings along. I think there was a story when they met, he put a move on Phillips. It's not for nothing, too. He also had, I believe, the highest score in the, what is that, intellectual test they do before the combine and everything, but he was the highest rated defensive tackle there. Yeah. But I think it's a great pick for the Bills. I think it's a guy that you could see around for a while, like Kyle Williams, where he's a grinder and a fan favorite too.
Yeah, and I saw an interview on NFL Network with Stanford's head coach David Shaw just talking about him before the draft, saying that whoever drafts this kid is just going to get a really good, productive player. And David Shaw's he's coached a lot of really good NFL-bound players at Stanford, and he had only, like, really, really good things to say about him. So I'm sure the Bills thought the same way. I thought where he was in the draft was a great pickup, you know, third round. I thought he could have snuck into the second round, maybe, just because of his great production. And we obviously know his strength, benching 42 reps at the combine. I think he's going to be a really good pick. And now, you know, the two big guys, obviously Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. Did you guys ever think that the Bills would have two top 16 picks?
Nope. Definitely did not.
Yeah, no.
I know
it's
I was
amazing the picks they had. I think all but one of them were someone else's picks.
Yeah, they, I mean, they got rid of. I mean, it was clear that they wanted to hang on to 22, but I didn't think that they wanted to trade up from that spot. I just thought they wanted to draft somebody else, you know, at that spot. So for them, you know, I think we'll look back at the third round to say, okay, was anyone drafted in that third round better than what they got Tremaine Edmonds? And I think the answer is going to be no.
Let's hope so.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what do you guys think about just his youth? We'll start with Edmonds. You know, we'll get to Allen and talk about him in detail in a bit. But just him filling that position that Preston Brown left, what do you guys think that impact's going to be?
Well, he doesn't sound like a 19-year-old or 20-year-old for sure. I listened to him to speak to the media the day after he was drafted. I love the pick. I think middle linebacker is probably one of the most important positions on the defensive side of the ball. So they're pretty much following what Carolina did when they were at the bottom of the league when they drafted their middle linebacker, and hopefully he becomes a stud and he becomes better than Preston Brown did. I mean, Preston Brown was a great player, but I don't think he was nearly as fast enough to be a middle linebacker.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I agree with all that. I think it's very interesting. You know, they went for the next generation of linebacker. It's nice to see the Bills for once almost like ahead of the trend. They're usually the ones that are behind it, you know, doing Wildcat after it's long over. Yeah. But I think it was great that they got that draft pick. He's a good lateral guy, too. He's quick. It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, what Star Lotulelei can do in the middle, eating up blocks while watching Edmonds just go after the guys. A lot of his film, he's just crushing the running back in the backfield, you know, 1-2 yards deep. It's amazing. It'll be very, very interesting to see how these top picks for the Bills do.
Yeah, I think with Edmonds, he is really good sideline to sideline. And I watch a lot of ACC football, and I was watching this guy and he was just, like, noticeable all over the field, just flying around. And I think, you know, with Star Lotulelei and Kyle Williams and now Harrison Phillips, like, clogging up those offensive linemen in the middle, he's going to have freedom to run around and make plays. So I'm really excited to see what he can do. Obviously a big step up in competition for him, but definitely for McDermott, I mean, he had Luke Kuechly in Carolina. He needs that middle linebacker to be able to cover, you know, drop and hook and curl in zone coverage and cover backs out of the backfield. And he needs a guy who can also be a thumper and stop guys in the middle. He, for 19 years old, he looks like a freak of an athlete, just the way he's built, mm-hmm. Which is really cool. Like, this guy is definitely like a blue chipper, and he fell and they went up and grabbed him. And I think it was just a phenomenal pick.
It was a steal, I thought. I was so shocked when they moved up again. I thought I was dreaming.
Yeah. Rich, with Edmonds, do you think that he starts day one for sure? Do you think that they ease him into it? What do you think the plan is with him? Being as young as he is, we definitely think he'll probably start, but if you were McDermott or Leslie Frazier, like, how would you coach him, you know, getting him acclimated to the system and stuff?
Yeah, I'd ease him in a little bit, but I still think he's going to be starting week one. I think when you look at how he played at Virginia Tech, he was playing as if he was, you know, he knows a lot about what's going on the field. He knows where to be. There were some times where he might get lost in the play a little bit, but his speed makes up for it. I think they're definitely going to be having him start week one. I think he's almost too much of a talent to not start week one.
Yeah. All right, and so they gave up that third round pick to move up, which was the first pick in that third round that they got in return for Tyrod Taylor to go to Cleveland. And I definitely don't have an issue at all giving that up for this guy, because it was a need, first of all, and second, he was easily the best player probably on the board at that point. So, no-brainer. Glad they were aggressive. And they got basically the quarterback of their defense, you would think, for hopefully a long time. All right, guys, so now we'll get to Josh Allen, the quarterback that a lot of Bills fans were really clamoring that the Bills would not draft. I saw the draft day kind of party in the field house there, the training facility at One Bills Drive, and just kind of the reaction of people really kind of upset that it wasn't the other Josh. We'll first just go over just the player itself. Like, what do you guys think the Bills are getting here? Still not really sure what we're going to have, but just first thoughts of that pick and moving up and grabbing him.
I personally did not like the pick initially, but after I sat down and thought about it and watched some film, he has talent. He is a big kid. Kind of reminds you of Big Ben, but the accuracy thing is what scared everyone. But I'm willing to trust Bean and trust McDermott. We trusted him so far, and that's all we can do is trust him right now. Hopefully they got it right, and I truly don't think he plays this year at all. I think AJ McCarron will play, and if he gets hurt or struggles, I think Peterman goes in. I think they're going to take it easy with this kid, make sure he's 100% ready, and he starts in 2019.
Yeah, at first I was pretty upset about the pick, I think, but I think that, you know, when he was talking about his accuracy and everyone was talking about his completion percentage, I think that was a little bit misconstrued. I think that he does have accuracy, but with the receivers that he has out there, it was interesting just seeing how many drops he has per game. You know, if you take two drops per game and he played 11 games last year, his percentage goes up to 64 and it wouldn't even be a conversation. I think that he's a guy that McDermott and Bean really like, that type of that mentality, that underdog type mentality. I think if, you know, watching him a little bit, he has those kind of I'm not gonna say like flashes, but almost of Cam Newton out there, where he's taking big hits. He's a little slippery. He's not nearly as fast, or, you know, runs as much as Cam Newton, but he has that strong arm and that ability to slip away when you think you have him under wraps.
Yeah, I think no doubt the Bills liked him, and this is just a theme with all of the Bills picks and really every NFL team. They pick the person, the human being, before they pick, I think, the player. And they fell in love with this guy's personality, where he came from, I think. You're going to draft what's best for your team, but I could totally see the Bills falling in love with someone's personality from, like, a small-town, blue-collar guy like this, and how he's going to fit into what they're doing and their program. And I think people who want to, and really analysts who want to just go by stats, don't really consider that when they're talking about analytics. They just want to go with, okay, this was the stats, and so I think the Bills need to draft this guy. And I think they forget that the Bills are just like an organization like all other companies, where you want to bring in people you feel comfortable with and trust from the person standpoint. Now, that was tested when all of the stuff on draft night or draft day and night came out about his character being questioned with the racial slurs and stuff like that, and they definitely wanted to check on all that. But I think they drafted the person that they liked, in addition to also the guy that they thought could be a franchise quarterback. Do you guys agree that, I don't know, I just feel like when people talk about his completion percentage versus someone else's completion percentage, they completely don't want to think about the human element of what these teams are thinking.
I absolutely agree with you, especially after listening to him speak the next day and then listening to Rosen speak after he was drafted by the Cardinals. Rosen doesn't seem to be a McDermott guy at all, but listening to Allen speak, you're like, okay, this guy fits McDermott's system and is totally a McDermott guy, the way he carries himself and the way he talks. So I think they, instead of, they, I don't think they looked at the talent 100%. They also looked at his personality and his leadership.
Yeah, I agree. I think that It was interesting that, you know, when that information came out about those older tweets, it was Brandon Bean, I believe, immediately called him and talked to him about it, and he was, you know, remorseful about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just talked to him. They explained to him, you know, these things have consequences. They talked to people around him. They talked to old coaches and everything, and the old players who were vouching for him, saying that's totally not the person he is. So, but, you know, at the end of the day, they did the right thing, and they left it up to him to kind of explain himself when he goes into that locker room.
Yeah, and I think they just, in their minds, wanted somebody who could project as the best out of the class. I think that they just saw his talent and said, okay, I think we can coach him up and he can correct his inaccuracies. We can work with his footwork. And I think they were just sold on him from the beginning. I had people telling me that they really liked Baker Mayfield as well, but obviously he was off the board. And then Sam Darnold going. But I don't think that they got like their third or fourth choice here. I think Allen was probably one or two up there, competing with those other guys that went ahead of him. And they're probably more than thrilled, obviously, that they got these two first-rounders where they did, which is kind of funny that it was pick number 7 and 16 for 716, but which is kind of neat. But they also, I think, were pleasantly surprised. I mean, Bean said he never thought that they would get both of them. And the other element to this is obviously all of the reports coming out recently about how they were going to trade up with Denver at number 5, and if they would have done that, they would have had to give up 22. So a blessing in disguise that Bradley Chubb was still there. Denver takes him, and the Bills don't have to surrender the 22nd pick. I think we're going to look back on that potentially with Edmonds being now in the fold, just how huge that was of saving pick 22.
Yeah, I thought that number 22 was gone for sure. When I did my mock, I thought they were trading number 22 just to get their quarterback, and they were going to be done for today. But thankfully, Bean had the patience, and he only had to give 2 second rounders to get his guy.
Rich, what, you know, I was talking to you just privately a little bit too. I think maybe like Keenan was saying as well, I think a lot of people were just skeptical of Allen, and now that they've maybe, you know, let it settle in a little bit, and you've gone back and watched to see some of his throws and things that he's done, what gives you the most confidence that he could succeed?
I think he's a grinder. He's a guy that is going out there, he's putting his head down, he's really trying to do anything he can to, you know, make successful plays for his team. You see so many times where he's just making something out of nothing, where he's scrambling around from sideline to sideline almost, and then just picking up a first down and plowing over a safety or something. I think it's the type of player the Bills want. They want a guy that's determined. They want a guy that's motivated. Maybe they didn't see that in Rosen as much as they did in Allen, and I think that Allen could end up being, you know, that leader on the offense that they've been coveting, that type of Big Ben type leader, maybe even like Cam Newton, where they have a guy that's going to take over a game. I think they think they found one.
Yeah, I don't think, too, that this makes a huge difference or anything, but I could see, obviously, if he plays really well and throws a lot of touchdowns and comes in and wins games, the fans are going to like him. But I think he does have that charismatic personality when he plays. Like, he plays with his heart on his sleeve. He gets fired up when he makes a great play. He does all of those things that you want to see from a leader, and I think that coupled with what type of plays he can make, I mean, he makes some really jaw-dropping plays. I mean, he'll roll out and on a rope throw on the run 50 yards, and, you know, some of his plays are just, you can't believe that actually happened. So I think if he does that coupled with just, you know, like I said, his outward expressions of just being excited, I think he could win over fans pretty quickly if he has some early success. What do you guys think?
He's already won me over. I got his jersey.
That was fast.
Yeah, that was quick, huh?
Yeah, I think he could win over fans. I think it just honestly takes winning. And I think a big thing with the Bills fans is they need to be patient with this. I don't want them, you know, be when he's out there, say he comes in after the bye week, week 11, and he's out there and he throws an interception and fans immediately start booing him. You know, they got to be patient with him, too, because he's a guy where he has talent. He just needs to hone it in properly. And I think once he does that, I think Bills fans will fall in love with that personality and that type of player he is.
All right, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate, though, with Keenan, and maybe a little bit with you, Rich, when you're saying, like, give him some time or be patient with him. Maybe it's a different conversation. But say he looks phenomenal through camp. He's clearly the best quarterback, and they start him week one. And would you be okay with doing that? Because there's an argument to be said for, well, let him learn on the fly. Yes, he could be frustrating at times. He might throw two picks but in one half, but then he'll come out and he might throw two or three touchdown passes and the Bills might win by three or four, but he'll look a little shaky. Like, do you subscribe to that line of thinking that maybe, like, the best way this guy can learn is just by doing it?
Well, if you look at what the Texans did with Tom Savage, that was a mistake when they started him and then brought in their rookie at the second half of the game, and he looked great. So if he looks great at training camp, start him from week one, I'd say, and just be patient with him, like you said. Make sure you got – I don't even know what to say, but just be patient, and if he throws an interception, he throws an interception, and just hope he doesn't become the next C.J. Manuel or J.P. Lossman or Trent Edwards.
Rich, are you up for starting him week one if he looks good?
I honestly think so. It really has to depend on the situation. If he comes into camp and he's lighting it up, and you know we all know we can take preseason with a grain of salt a little bit, but if he is lighting it up and is showing signs that he should be starting, I think there's no doubt he should start. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think he has a little ways to go before he's able to put it all together and they're able to want that product on the field. I think they also still want to see what AJ McCarron can do. McCarron hasn't played in many games. There's no guarantee that he's going to be even that good at all. I mean, it would be a pleasant surprise if he is. I think that they still want to see, though, what McCarron can do, and having that late bye week almost gives them an opportunity to do that built into their schedule. You know, if McCarron, say the Bills are, you know, 2-8 going into that bye week, maybe they look at throwing out Allen the next game and seeing what he can do if they think, you know, if they're confident with
it. I think they're going to have to be 100% confident to put him in the game. I don't think they start him just because AJ slips on a mat and is out for the year like Kevin Cobb did the 1 year. But I think the only way he starts is if he lights it up at training camp in preseason. And God forbid, if AJ gets hurt, don't just throw him in there if he's not ready. Just roll with Peterman or sign someone.
Yeah, I think McDermott probably learned from his Peterman snafu last year. Don't put somebody in if he's not ready. I don't think he'll probably want to make that mistake again. So I don't know, though. I think you do have some, like, you made a great point, Keenan. Deshaun Watson did come in a little bit too late. Like, if he came in earlier, I mean, he got hurt, but if he came in earlier, maybe the Texans were, you know, in the playoffs or, you know, just a better team overall. And I don't know, like, you might want to take the lumps with him and have him learn on the fly, because you're not expected, and I don't know if the Bills are really expecting, I think internally they probably want to make a step, but they probably think that, to a certain degree, Allen gives them a better chance to win if he looks good than Tyrod Taylor did, and they probably think the other parts of their roster have improved enough where they can take that next step. At least they're going to think that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that especially with a rookie quarterback, a guy, he's been a underdog his whole career. I think that especially with Allen, you need to make sure you're not putting out that ruining his confidence too early, because it is fragile when you have a guy like that. You go out there, say he throws a few bad games in a row. It really takes a lot to get that confidence back, and I think you run the risk of doing that if you bring him out too early.
Yeah, for sure. So, last thing about him in terms of, like, his tools and intangibles that has just been, like, I think really overblown in the media is about his big arm. And from this standpoint of and I totally understand where people are coming from, that Buffalo, New York is not the only place where it gets cold or where it's windy or there's terrible weather. But my point that I want to make with him, specifically Allen, now being on your team, is the NFL is so conservative. Offensive coordinators are even more conservative sometimes, that if it's bad weather, they pretty much scratch half of their game plan or get rid of some of that stuff. But now that you have a player who could elevate his play no matter what conditions, and I'm not saying just in Buffalo, it could be in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, on the road at the Jets, or in New England, like, you now have a player that if there's a lot of wind, like, it doesn't matter because his arm is so good that you don't have to scrap your entire game plan because of the weather. You have a quarterback that no other quarterback really has that that arm talent for. And so I think that's kind of a huge advantage if you're the Bills. And I don't know, people wanted to quickly throw that aside, but I think that could be a big deal, even on the road or anywhere else, to have a player who transcends weather.
Yeah, why not? It could be a great advantage for the Bills. We don't get that much of bad weather, do we, guys? Come on. But if it's...
I don't think it's like an every week thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you know, come like, you know, the later half of the schedule, if they're playing in Nashville and Nashville has an ice storm or something like that, and they're in an outdoor stadium. And
yeah, for sure. I mean,
and Josh Allen's your quarterback. Like, okay, he has a way better arm than Marcus Mariota. So I think the Bills have an advantage there. I don't know. I think, like, just with the way teams think too. I mean, you hear it on comment, you know, on broadcasts all the time. Oh well, the offense is going against the wind this time, so, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're gonna want to attack down the field. Well, if you have Josh Allen on your team, it doesn't matter which way the wind's blowing. You're just gonna play the game. And
yeah, for sure.
I don't know, I just think that's like comforting if you're an offensive coordinator or a team. You could still be aggressive.
Let's hope they use it to their advantage then. You know how past Bills teams would just shut down everything, and not worry and not care what player they have out there. They'll just go rely on the running game. But let's hope they let Allen air it out, even if it is 50 miles an hour wind out there or an ice storm, like you said.
Yeah, I think honestly the arm is enticing enough where you're like, you almost kind of want to see a bad weather game in Buffalo, where you're almost waiting for that to happen, where he puts up like 300 yards in a snowstorm.
Like that Indy game this past season.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. That was a crazy game.
1 year too early.
Yeah.
No, but I like, you know, I'm not bringing up this point to see it's like it's a huge deal or like the reason to draft him. I'm just saying, you know, I think people just like want to dismiss real quickly the arm talent and like, well, no, that makes a big difference. That could like really help you in certain situations. I don't know. So I think like he has a lot more skills that even you alluded to, Rich. His ability to be slippery and to run like linebackers over because of his size. He is a little Cam-esque in that way, where he can get out of the pocket. He can throw really good on the run, and he can pick up first down with his legs and extend drives. So he's not just a statue back there. Like, he's not Dan Marino that's just, like, you know, has a cannon arm but can't move. Like, he's a really, really good athlete, even better than some people said. I think Mike Mayock said he might be even be better athlete than Carson Wentz. So that's pretty good. I'll take that athlete at my quarterback position with that arm. And I often made this case too. I think if Allen was not at Wyoming and Wyoming just had X quarterback playing for them, I don't think they're nearly a bowl team. They probably mm-hmm. don't even win 3 or 4 games. So, you know, having him there and to get the 8 wins last year, I think he was every bit of a reason why they were at least that successful with that roster. So, I think it was a good pick for the Bills. We'll see how it pans out. We don't really know. And I kind of want to conclude here. The last kind of big topic to talk about with you guys on this edition is, are the Bills better, and how much better do you think they are than last year? Are they not that great? I think a lot of national pundits and a lot of people right now are really down on the Bills and really down on their roster. I think Evan Silva said, like, one of the worst rosters he's ever seen, or at least definitely the worst in the league. Like, just really bad PR that the Bills roster is receiving right now. What do you guys think? Do you agree with it? Do you think that they're a super far way away, or what?
I think they're just about the same as last year. I think a lot of the games last year they got lucky, and they went their way. I think they got a good coach who's going to put his team to win in situations to win every week. We just need some luck. I think McCarron's an upgrade to Tyrod Taylor for sure. I think, well, I don't want to say for sure, but I think McCarron can be an upgrade from Tyrod. So I can see them winning 7-9 games. Before the draft, I did agree with the national media. I thought they would win 2-3 games, but I'm trying to be positive, I guess. 7-9 games, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm a little bit cautiously optimistic about this. I think that they do have, just by even getting rid of Rick Dennison as their offense coordinator from last year, I think
that's
that even there just shows like a slight upgrade. Yeah. You know, you have a newer guy coming in there, a guy that was with the Patriots before, a guy that was just with Alabama. A guy, you're going to be able to have a better offense, in my opinion. On paper, you should have a better offense. I don't think they really lost that much. You know, they lost Deontay Thompson, Jordan Matthews missed a few games. They didn't really lose that much in terms of skill. I think that when you have a better passing quarterback, I'd find it very hard for them not to be a little bit better. And that's on paper, though, too. You know, you don't know how these guys are going to come out there week one. I think the defense, even losing EJ Gaines and losing these guys, I think that the defense even is either the same or better. You have a lot of players in there where they're going to be good in about a year and a half, where they're going to be strong foundational players that you can have for years down the road, too. And I think that, you know, just brushing them off as a couple-win team this early, I think, is almost a disservice. You haven't really – there hasn't even been training camp yet, so.
Yeah, I too, like, don't think that they're that much different. And the NFL, as you guys know, is so competitive anyway. It could go either way a lot of games. And McDermott is a good coach, Keenan, you're right. He's going to put them in positions to win and at least be really competitive each week. And I don't think on defense they got worse at all. I mean, I think they got extremely improved. I mean, they're extremely improved. I think Vontae Davis is a great player. They went and addressed the interior of their line, which was pretty abysmal last year. Once they got rid of Marcel Darius, it was tough to stop the run, but you put Starla Tulele in there. That's a huge upgrade. Trent Murphy, and try to get more pass rush on the outside. And I think the additions that they've made have actually outweighed the subtractions. And I don't understand where they think that the roster is worse. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not also trying to be, you know, a homer or anything like that. It's hard for me to see how they've subtracted so much to the point where, you know, they're going to only win at max 5 games or something like that.
What does Vegas have us at winning this year?
I think 6.5.
6.5.
Line that I saw.
Well,
that's fine. But yeah, I'm also trying to think. I mean, Richie pointed out EJ Gaines. Who else were big losses this year? Deontay. I mean,
you didn't really lose that much. I think Preston Brown, it's going to look like a big loss to the national media because he led the league in tackles. But as people that watch it every single week, we know that that's not. It's a loss, but it's not that big of a loss. I think that they did a good job addressing that, too. And I think they did a good job solidifying that their weaknesses on their defense last year. The run defense was a huge weakness last year. And you go and you get a guy that's going to eat up blocks and allow the linebackers to get at guys. And then you add a underrated defensive end who missed the last season. And people forget, too, that, you know, they still have Shaq Lawson out there. He hasn't really played a full season yet. We haven't seen what he can actually do yet. He had a couple sacks last year, but I'm still patient on him. I think that they have a lot of guys in there that when they're at, you know, full goal, I think they're going to be able to be a very strong defense. And I think they've got a lot of pieces in there, which will make them good for years down the road, too.
Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is that offensive line. If they could somehow figure that out and are able to replace Eric Wood and Richie, and make sure that LeSean McCoy is at least a top 10 rusher in the league. I think they win more than six games. I think Vegas is wrong.
Yeah.
Another thing too with that offensive line, with Brian Daboll coming in, it'll be interesting because Denson deployed like a zone running technique last year where McCoy wasn't able to get the same amount of space and same real McCoy that we're used to seeing that he, you know, the year before we had so many touchdowns on the ground. I think this year with Daboll that it opens him up a little bit, and I think that the offensive line might not be as much of a factor as it was in years past because you have a different scheme, you have a different coordinator in there that knows that that's maybe a slight weakness and will be able to prepare for it better than, you know, Dennison did last year.
Yeah, at Alabama, there was a lot of quick passing there, which protected your offensive linemen. They didn't have to hold up as long. I mean, there were some plays they did play action and stuff like that, but a lot of shotgun, a lot of spread. You had really easy reads for the quarterback, which you're probably only going to help someone like Josh Allen or even A.J. McCarron, who's still relatively young, especially competing, you know, not as a full-time starter ever in the league. So that quarterback room's really young, and the offensive line is really an interesting one. I think Juan Castillo has a lot of flexibility with the Teller pick, which is why it was such a good pick. Bringing in, you know, Russell Bodine, who has a lot of experience. You know, we all know Ryan Groy is still there. It'll be interesting to see what they think about John Miller. You still have Vlad Dukas. So there's just a lot of kind of like the wide receiver position. You're just going to have a really good battle in camp to see which blend of guys work best in your offense and with the rest of their teammates. So if you don't have the money or capital or wherewithal to get, you know, top-end players, just get as many as you can that are good and see which ones, you know, produce the best results for you.
I think one thing, too, about that offense with Daboll coming in there that speaks numbers of what he could be able to do is you look at the national championship last year with Alabama. They put in Tua. I forgot how to say his last name, but they put him in and they were able to – yeah. They were able to put him in there, and they were able to win a game because the offense was simple enough where he could understand and the defense couldn't tell what he was doing. He was making good looks, and I think when you can do that at a pro level too, that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think you make a really good point with it just didn't make sense that Dennison was their offensive coordinator last year. Like he just didn't fit what Tyrod could do and right what Shady, you know, was really good at a couple of years ago with more of a power running game. I think once they get back to that, it's going to be, you know, sky's the limit for Shady and for that team to just go, you know, more north and south. I think he was headed, you know, a little bit too much looking for cuts, and they weren't as much in sync last year as I think they could just go, you know, as quickly as they can. I know Alabama like to run plays pretty quickly at times with some no huddle, so it'd be cool to see that happen, you know, change of pace once in a while. And I think overall the draft, though, I don't know if you guys want to give them grades on what you think they did overall, or just as we wrap up here this episode, what are you guys just taking away everything that you've learned from who the Bills picked, what we just talked about, what you guys feel the roster's at, where it's at now and going forward? How do you feel going into these mini camps, into the summer with this team and expectations going into next year?
Oh, I'll go first.
Don't all take it at once.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm scared, I guess. We just got the drought over with, and, you know, I want to go to playoffs again. I want to get that taste of the playoffs again and actually compete in the playoff game. But I'm hoping that the offense becomes more of a passing threat and is able to open LeSean McCoy up more.
Keenan, what did you just think of like the draft, I guess?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, the draft, if we're going to give him a grade, I'd go with a B+. The only thing I wasn't happy with was the wide receiver position that they didn't address till later in the round, but but we already addressed that. But give him a B, and let's hope Josh Allen becomes the franchise quarterback, I guess.
Yeah, I'd go ahead and give them a B minus. I think that if in a year and a half these plans come to fruition, I think I'd raise that to an A minus easily. I think they addressed really most of the needs, and I think you can kind of see a plan coming together where they want to, you know, maybe wait off for that wide receiver position until next year. Maybe wait off for a couple other positions next year where you have a guy backing up McCoy or something. I think that they did a good job, though. They got a quarterback on offense and defense, which is what their two biggest needs were, and then they were able to fill in very good value picks later on in the day, or later on in the days after, where they were able to get guys that were projected way higher, and hopefully that ends up benefiting them and not, you know, other teams saw something that they didn't see. But I think that overall they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, for sure. I think with that $100 million plus reported, you know, cap space next year, they're going to have a lot of room to make even more roster moves. I mean, it's amazing how much the Bills have changed in a year since Brandon Bean came in after Doug Whaley was fired. Like, just how many players have come in and out. Even the front office has changed. Like, Dan Morgan came over this week from the Seahawks. Like, there's just so many changes over there. And you can definitely see a theme and a pattern developing of, like, who they like, what types of people they want in their organization, and what type of players they want on the field. So, well, thank you guys both for joining me and talking about the draft post-draft now that the dust has settled, as we said. And we'll be back with another rendition of the Bills Wire podcast soon for Rich Kowalski, who I want to dub as the next Polish Rifle. Just like Jaws. I thought about that earlier. That would be awesome if you could be like Polish Rifle number two. I don't know if you played quarterback before, but we could just imagine that you have.
I was a pitcher, okay. But cool. Not a quarterback.
The pitcher.
Lefty.
Yeah. All right. And Keenan, appreciate you coming on and joining us, and pleasure obviously joining you at Bills Wire, contributing articles. So for those of you who want to, again, listen to the podcast, you can find it on iTunes or on billswire.usatoday.com, a Sports Media Group entity. So thank you guys both. Have a great rest of your day, and go Bills.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Thank you.